And welcome to Highly Irregular, the podcast with no right angle. Think of it like that one relative you always see at large family gatherings, but even though you recognise their face, you're not quite sure who they are. Maybe a cousin or a second cousin, once removed? Someone definitely said they were once removed, but you can't remember if they meant in the family tree sense or if they were referring to that time they got booted from your aunt's wedding. They definitely seem familiar, but at the same time, you have absolutely no idea who they are or how they got here. And nobody else seems to either. Right, I think that's everything sorted for our stand at the convention tomorrow. Is there anything else?
The merchandise?
Oh, right, yes. Jay, you were on merch duty. Have you got it sorted?
Yep, all here.
Great. T-shirts?
Yep.
Keychains.
Yep.
Ballpoint pens.
Absolutely.
Mouse mats.
Mm-hmm.
Pop sockets.
Of course.
USB sticks.
Certainly.
After dinner mints.
Yep.
Branded fortune cookies.
Wouldn't be a conference without them.
Laptop stickers.
Right here.
Novelty pepper spray.
100%.
Glasses cloth.
You betcha.
Stress balls.
Loads of them.
Tote bags?
Say that again?
Tote bags, Jay.
Tote bags.
Yes. Tote bags.
Oh, no. I thought you said...
Is that croaking?
I thought you said to get... I mean, I may have slightly misheard.
Jay!
Greetings, and welcome to this episode's horoscope reading. Behold, the cosmos smiles upon us. And now, why don't you join me, and together we will bathe in its light. No. What are you doing? Stop getting undressed. We're not literally bathing in it. Have some decorum. Oh, that's the first one, actually. Capricorn. Have some decorum. Aquarius. The light we're bathing in is metaphorical. Take off those shades. You look ridiculous. Pisces. Why haven't you stopped undressing? Put some clothes back on, you pervert. Aries. I know you're shy, but it's okay now. Pisces is getting dressed. Come in and bathe with the others. That's it. See? It's warm. This'll be nice. I promise. Taurus? No, it doesn't matter if you don't know how to swim. Ah, Gemini. I see you've even brought your own shampoo. Well done. I'm glad someone is taking this seriously. Cancer? No, Cancer. Now is not the time for handstand competitions. Please, will you just calmly bathe in the light and infinite wisdom of the cosmos like everybody else? Leo. Leo? For Pete's sake, has anyone seen Leo? No? Right, Virgo, you check that way. Libra, check back in the changing room. Scorpio, can you see if they left a message in the Zodiac group on WhatsApp? No, Sagittarius, I don't care how badly you want a packet of crisps from the vending machine. We are not leaving until we've found Leo. Why does this always happen with you lot? Welcome back to Book Club. It's time now for Chapter 2 of No Time to Run, the spy thriller novel by celebrity gardener Barry Greenfinger. In Chapter 1, veteran spy Hayden Hawke was assigned a mission to track down Ivanov Ivanovich, a local drug lord who could be smuggling a highly explosive device into Royal Tunbridge Wells. Hayden set off to find his associate Danil Danilovich in Dunorland Park, where he is posing as a groundskeeper. We also had a lovely description of Hayden's extensive front garden. So let's see what happens in the next chapter. No Time to Run, Chapter 2. Hayden pulled up to Dunorland Park in his matte grey stealth Porsche. Racing through the leafy streets of Tunbridge Wells had allowed his mind to wander to more peaceful destinations, like Wicks. But now he had to focus and get down to business. The Tango, that's the secret agent word for target, was nearby, and if Hayden were to arouse any suspicion whatsoever, the bird may flee the bush. He put on his civilian sunglasses and entered the sprawling community space. Many people called this part beautiful, but when viewed through the expert gardening lens that Hayden and others like him possessed, there was a very utilitarian feel about it. However, Hayden had to admit it was nicer than most. Past some novice frisbee throwers and beyond a path lined with trees, he spied a small brick hut. Perhaps this was where the park employees kept their supplies. He hastened in that direction as quick as he could, while still maintaining an air of recreation. Ahead of him, a figure began to resolve, hard to see in the distance owing to his green fleece and light brown slacks, not a world away from the camouflage Hayden used to wear back in training. As he approached, the man looked up.
"Hello, park-goer. This structure is restricted from the public, I'm very sorry. Please, enjoy the surrounding green spaces instead,"
he suggested, quite Russianly. He had a grizzled face, peeking out from underneath his flat cap with wary eyes.
"You must be the groundsman," asked Hayden. "Yes, indeed, and I am very busy," the man replied. "My apologies," Hawk responded coolly, and gestured towards the wall of the hut next to them. "I just wanted to compliment you on those lovely climbing flowers. What are they?"
"Oh, thank you very much. I planted those in the spring. They are wall daisies."
In a flash, Hawk whipped around, grabbed the man by his collar and flung him against the wall, his head buried in a fraudulent crop.
"This is bindweed, and any real groundsman would have wrestled it from the soil long before it reached this level of maturity. The roots are probably a good meter or so deep and will take extensive work to remove. As for wall daisies, that's total fantasy. You don't know the first thing about horticulture, do you, park ranger? Or should I say, Danil Danilovich?"
The man's eyes widened.
Okay, I admit, I am no groundsman, but you cannot go in that hut, please. Boss will kill me."
Hayden spat on the floor.
"I'll go where I damn well please."
He threw Danil to the ground and flung open the door. Inside, lying on top of a sack of fertilizer, was an old, battered briefcase. Hayden picked it up and went back outside. Danil was nowhere to be seen, but that didn't matter. If he had any brains at all, he wouldn't go anywhere near his boss Ivanov again after such a failure. Hayden pulled out his phone and held it up to his face.
"Danil has been located. I've secured the intel. I'll let you know what I find in there."
He took off his civilian shades and looked out at the ordinary folks in the park, people playing, having picnics, enjoying their lives in the sunshine. They had no idea someone was out to destroy everything they held dear in Tunbridge Wells, and they never would if he could help it. As he headed back to the stealth Porsche, he allowed a small smile to creep onto his face. He had missed this. Whew. Riveting stuff, eh? Well, we'll be back next time to see where the story goes from here.
There's only one recipe that I know.
Where things are toast. Last things are toast. Last things are toast, man.
Hello, Stu Horgan here.
Who?
I'm the lead sound engineer. Yeah, man, these levels, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. Thanks for listening to episode 2 of Highly Irregular. It's been a very interesting month learning how to launch a podcast. If you are one of the people who listened to episode 1, then thank you for coming back. You're on a hat trick now, so no pressure, but be on your toes in March. That last song, just a little bit of fun, wasn't it? Obviously, I don't actually only know one recipe. I know at least 4. But it does raise one important question. Is milk and cereal a recipe? What do you think? Yes or no? Please do explain your reasoning for bonus points. You can let me know by email at podirregular@gmail.com, or you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook under the handle podlyirregular.
That's P-O-D-L-Y, irregular. And I'm also on YouTube. I've got a YouTube channel called Highly Irregular Podcast, where I'll be uploading all the songs from the podcast. So that's the two from the first episode. They're already up. Another one that you're about to hear will go up. And of course, that one about the beans on toast. So yeah, if you want to hear a song again, you don't want to scroll through an episode to find it, then head to YouTube. Science time now. Last episode, I asked you about your teeth. And more specifically, how many you think you have, so that we can crowdsource some numbers and actually find out once and for all how many teeth you're supposed to have. Thank you to everyone who contributed to this study. Let me just cue up my reading out answers music and we'll dive into the data. Oh, whoops. That's not my reading out answers music. That's my, never mind. Oh, here it is. Let's get started. Josh used to have more teeth, but the orthodontist had to remove a few, so he now has 27, 14 on the top and 13 on the bottom. The Lorax Incarnate tells me that they have 28 teeth, and wonders whether teeth have ghosts. Maybe something we can dig into in the future if this study secures further funding. Josie has 32 teeth and is pleading sanity as the cause for that. Johnny looked in a mirror and saw at least 9. Richard has 29, which he deduced with a patented finger poke method. While Becky has 32, but pulled a muscle in her tongue while counting, so I think there's a clear lesson we can take away from that, which is use your fingers next time. Jordan chipped one last year, so decided to play it safe with a guess of 19. Kieran counted 3 times and got an average of 29.3 to 3 significant figures. Very scientific, thank you for that. Tom thinks he has about 12, and Tony identifies as an egg, and as such, doesn't have any teeth. So I'll put that down as a 0. I'm just going with my gut and saying I've got about 45. Plugging all those numbers in gives us our answer. The number of teeth that you should have is 23.85 to 2 decimal places. So if you got more than that, you know what to do. I hope you do anyway, because I don't. And I've got nearly 22 to get rid of now. Anyway, thanks again everyone who took part in that scientific study. And as I said before, let me know for next time, do you think milk and cereal is a recipe? We are advancing the sum total of human knowledge one step at a time here. That's about the end of the break. Just be a couple of messages from our sponsors before we get back to the sketches. First up today is Roombeard. Trimming and shaving your beard can feel like a chore. All that concentration, hand-eye coordination, sore arms, cuts and burns. Time for a modern solution, the Roombeard. Simply attach this autonomous clipper bot to your face and get back to living your life. The tiny robot will plot a course around your cheeks, trimming and hoovering as it goes, and with 70% accurate nose, ear and eye avoidance technology, your peace of mind is assured. Just sign a liability waiver and let Roombeard take care of the rest. Also sponsoring us this episode is the latest in bedroom technology from Dean's Ream Dream Emporium. Ever wake up and think, wow, that was a great dream? But then you realise you can't actually remember a single detail from it. Worry no more with our new memory foam mattress. This groundbreaking new material will remember all of your dreams so you don't have to. Why else would they call it that? Good evening and welcome to the news. This is the news. Today's top story, Prime Minister Boris Johnson is facing mounting pressure after his continued refusal to condemn the actions of Special Advisor Dominic Cummings, who last week evicted the Prime Minister and his family from No. 10 Downing Street and took over occupation of a property. Speaking outside No. 13 Downing Street, the Prime Minister insisted that he believed Cummings was acting reasonably in kicking him out of No. 10 and probably had very good justifications for doing so, not that it's any of our business, stressing again his desire to draw a line under the whole thing. He also refused to be drawn on which of them would be attending the next Prime Minister's questions. With me now is political correspondent Brian Regeering. Brian, what do you make of all this?
Hi Reg, well, it's an unprecedented move, which unfortunately for the Prime Minister is only going to raise more questions about his leadership. What's even more remarkable though, is that Dominic Cummings left his advisory role some time ago, meaning this joke is now completely irrelevant. But it seems the producer of the podcast is too lazy to make another one to replace it.
That is remarkable. And he's only got himself to blame if it took him this long to release the podcast. Do you think at least it made sense at the time of recording?
Well, that's just it, Reg. Had he recorded it while Cummings was still an advisor and then added this conversation in at a later date, that would perhaps be forgivable. But inside sources are telling me he actually only started recording the headline the day after Cummings walked out of Downing Street, and he just went ahead with it anyway. The intellectual dishonesty is staggering.
Doubly so, considering he's not even going to check if he's using the phrase intellectual dishonesty correctly.
Indeed.
Is there nothing that can be done to hold this producer accountable?
Unfortunately not. Our unelected producer seems to think he can break these rules as and when he pleases in order to get what he wants. In this case, a desperate attempt to squeeze one last bit of satire out of this Dominic Cummings situation, which, as I said earlier, very much does not exist anymore.
Thank you, Brian. Our next story. A leading group of scientists have launched a scathing rebuke of the donut-shaped universe theory. The scientists say there's a big hole in their logic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, just fax it through to Linda. Fax it through. You don't have a fax machine? Right, no, I don't have one either. Just email it then, yeah? Nice one. Haha, not if I catch you with your trousers down in a break room again, you madman. All right, mate, catch you later. I've got some personal business to take care of. Ciao.
Hello, sir.
Hi, Horatio LaBosse. I got a message about my account being frozen.
Right, let me see. Do you have your card with you now? Okay, I'll just pull that up. Yes, it's been frozen after a transaction was flagged as possible fraud.
Right, you think someone's hacked my creds?
Well, sir, were you awake at 3:24 a.m. Saturday morning?
Yeah, I think we just headed out from Astro Giovanni's. Great club. Absolutely slaughtered. You know how it is. Late shift, Friday night, straight to the VIP booth, corks out, bottoms up and all that. Yeah, I think we were stumbling back to Roderick's for a bit of afters at that point, actually.
Right, well, several orders were placed from an unknown IP address using your card.
Oh, I remember. We broke into that internet cafe because Manny thought he saw someone trapped inside. Turned out it was his reflection, the ruddy moron. I think we did do a bit of online shopping while we were there, actually.
So you did order the £3,000 pair of military-grade night vision goggles?
Oh, yes. Guilty as charged.
And the smoke machine? Laser projectors and 200 metres of shipping rope?
Well, we broke into that caff so easily. We thought we'd make it a bit harder, you know, turn Rod's penthouse into a Mission Impossible type scene and barrel around in there till one of us chundered on the smoke machine.
And the 2 kilograms of bratwurst?
Oh, yes, I was a bit peckish. Look, you can't keep freezing my account whenever I make an outrageous purchase. It's all part of the lifestyle, you see?
The lifestyle?
You know, work hard, play hard.
Right, well, we all work hard, Mr. LaBosse.
No, you don't understand.
Listen, I'm a trader, but not the kind that sells spices from Asia. I work right here in the city of London. Come and take a look at my financial dungeon. Up in the sky at Canary Wharf, wide to the market is kicking off. Market rates, great mates, but never mates rates. Till a clock of a 10 to have 10 with a lass. Hey! I like my women like I like my index. Trackable, stackable, packable, slightly volatile and algorithmically reactable. A well-defined time for you to start and end to end and no commission, so you can come right back again. People say all you do is work, aren't you lonely? Honestly, it's like you don't even know me. Why would I waste time trying to be Romeo when none of these girls are as diverse as my portfolio?
Stocks. Stocks. Stocks.
High yield investments on calculable derivables.
Stocks. Stocks. Stocks.
Wearing a suit and tie on weekends. Hedge funds, potpourri, gambling on equity, investors party, open bar, sausage fest, naturally. Bonuses, commission, fractional division. Short back and side snog, hours on a mission. First it goes up, then it goes down, then it goes up again. Now it's all squiggling up and down very quickly. When do you buy? When do you sell? That's for me to know. Never tell.
Stocks. 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 Socks. I mean, stocks.
Oh, you're a stockbroker. Well, that'll be why your account got frozen. You lost all your money betting on GameStop.
What? Oh, yeah, that makes sense, actually.
Right. Is that the last of the toads, Jay?
Yes, boss. That's the last of them, I'm sure of it. Sorry, boss.
Good. Christ, Jay, if those had got into the hands of customers, we'd have had to refund every single one of these tickets we're about to send out.
Every single one of these...
Tickets, Jay! The bloody tickets for the event!
Tickets? Oh, no.
What do you mean, oh, no?
Listen, boss. It could have happened to anyone. I mean...
Jay!
Right, is that the time? You'd best be off then, I suppose. Oh, can you do me a favour, actually? My neighbour's cat went missing recently. Could you let me know if you happen to see her? She's a tabby, quite big, four legs, answers to the name, unexpected item in a bagging area. Last seen trying to break into the local co-op. Keep an eye out, will you? See ya!